The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers to work in his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them out in the vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. He went out again around noon, and then around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand idle here all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go to my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started at 5 o'clock came, each received the daily wage. So when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "This last one's worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden in the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for a usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
So welcome to the 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Needless to say, there's nothing ordinary about these readings. They're full of spiritual challenges and are difficult to grasp. So let us break open the Word of God. So on reading these readings, it reminded me of an experience I had in the Holy Land pilgrimage that I went with Father Joe last January. This is the very same one he's promoting now for next January. One of the stops was not a destination, but a little side trip. It was the place historians believe that David slew the giant Goliath. He came to the site armed with a staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones. Why 5 stones when he only needed one? Well, the 5 stones represented faith, trust, courage, obedience, and praise. But he picked up 5 stones for this symbolic reason. And of course, we know the results of that story. So picture this now. Here we are, 49 pilgrims with the bus stopped along the side of the road, all filing out of this bus, going up this hill and going to the place where David slew Goliath. Of course, needless to say, many, including myself, were compelled to pick up 5 smooth stones as we went. Our historian guide proceeded to let us know a little secret. This site is honored for events that occurred over 4,000 years ago, and pilgrims have visited this site for the same reason we were there. If everybody that visited picked up 5 stones and left with them, how many stones do you think would be left? Well, the secret is The city of Jerusalem dumps a truckload of smooth stones there every year on the site to replenish the stones people have taken. So our stones are not 4,000 years old. They're probably only maybe a year or two old, brought from a quarry or a riverbank, wherever they get them from. What's real and what's fake? A little of that deception is apparent in our readings today. First reading speaks of the way that God called the Lord. This chapter 55 of Isaiah is the conclusion of the book called the Book of Comfort. Because it is Isaiah's place, Isaiah places ancient traditions within a cosmic realm. He presents these traditions with a universal context. He points out that God is generous and forgiving. But he goes on in a dialogue on how we are to worship. He then tells tells us that my thoughts are not God's thoughts, and sets us up for the lesson in the gospel. Our second reading from Paul to the Philippians tells how he expressed his gratitude to the Father for protecting them during their trials, and how the Philippians' kindness, attention, and hospitality that showed them during their visit there. Paul established this church in Philippi early on in his ministry and continued to correspond with them with his letters. Today's gospel is even more challenging than the first two readings. This gospel challenges our sensibilities, our sense of what's fair and what isn't. Today, the landowner hires men to go out and work in his field, and Jesus tells the story to demonstrate how the Father's mercy is dispensed freely and openly, and in a way that is God's way, not man's way. To working people who read this, this gospel might say, how dare the landowner pay the guy who worked only an hour the same wage that he paid the guys that worked all day? One might say, how unfair is this? This just isn't right. And we see the workers grumbling over this impropriety as well. So Jesus is pointing out that the landowner is a lot like God, and the rewards gathered to the individual should not be used in comparison to the rewards granted to others. He concludes with, take what is yours and be satisfied. It is clear to me, and probably to you as well, that the landowner is God, the workers are us, and God calls us to work in his vineyard, our world. Maybe we need to explore our own reasons why this story bothers us so much. It is because of the challenge of envy. Envy is a sin against God and man. Envy and greed are sins that bear no fruit and must be overcome in our hearts. Envy arises out of jealousy of others because we feel compelled to compare ourselves to others. It is covered in the last two commandments of Moses, the commandments of covetousness. Covet thy neighbor's wife, covet thy neighbor's goods. It's all covered in those commandments. And they were always considered sin even before Moses. These are the sins that we make when we read the story and react in a negative way. And it is here that Jesus points out the dangers of envy without actually saying the word. And because it is the grumblings of the other workers that reflect this natural desire of men and women to have equal rewards for equal effort and be envious of others' possessions. This is mankind's way, but this is not God's way. We are called to this work in God's vineyard, and we respond in our own way, in our own time, and we respond in a way that we feel pleases God. God doesn't want us to compare our work towards the kingdom of God to others? In a very strict interpretation, one might feel the message is, mind your own business. It is not our place to be judgmental on the behavior of others, and rather tend to our own fields, regardless of what and how your neighbor does. So what is the lesson learned from these readings? Bottom line, God's ways, not our ways. And we have to embrace God's ways to be one with Him. Further, we must examine our conscience and see where jealousy and envy and greed may play a role in our lives and strive to rid ourselves of that sin. And keeping in mind, the last will be first and the first will be last. So remember, Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our counselor and our friend. Jesus is the source of our redemption. And we look to Him and His words to guide us through the path we undertake, both in our secular lives and our spiritual lives. It is the faith in Him and our love of God that brings us towards the goals we seek. God is good all the time.